Well, I had a situation happen this weekend that thrilled my heart, thrilled it wonderfully, and that was with my daughter, Lindsay. Of course, I love all my grandbabies and children, you know, but there's something that happened this weekend that meant a lot to me, and I'll share it with you in just a moment, but let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, I'm going to share some important things for your church. And Father, I'm becoming more and more aware of the times that we're living in and how dangerous they really are. And Father, I thank you for the Holy Spirit, Jesus bringing him into a place in our lives where, Father, we don't have to be victims, but we can be people of destiny. We can have vision for our life, and we can move forward. But thank God for the Holy Spirit to be our guiding light and our helper, especially in the hour that we live. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen and amen. Well, the message that I want to bring to you, I'll start it now, and then, of course, it'll be broken off because of Christmas commitments and things like that, but we'll get back into it. I've been seeking the Lord about what to share with you as a church that's vitally important today, especially after I heard about all those shootings that were going on over there in Paris. How many remember that? And it hit the news media real strong. And then they came up with almost 200 killed and 500 altogether wounded. Now, I don't know whether you realize or not, but people, that's bizarre. It is as bizarre as when the Twin Towers came down. How many of you know the Twin Towers did come down? You know, I thought it was very interesting. Have any of you read some of the witnesses or the testimonies of the people that actually survived from that particular incident? And what I thought was very interesting is many of them had the testimony the Lord told them. You know, a lot of times we don't really get the full impact of how much God is at work in the earth communicating with people. And I started reading these testimonies and I was amazed. Like, for instance, one man got up in the morning, he was getting prepared to go to work. He'd been faithful on the job at the Twin Towers for years, has developed a lot of friends and everything, and the Lord spoke to him. And he was a member of his church and very dedicated to it. And he headed up a lot of the prayer vigils in his church. And the Lord spoke to him and said, don't go to work today. Stay home. And he was shocked. But he said he knew the voice of the Lord. And then after the incident happened, he was praising God that he didn't go. There were many testimonies of those that actually was headed to work and was late getting there and found the Twin Towers go down before them. And they were thankful they weren't there. Just testimony after testimony. And when you read these kind of testimonies, you begin to think, hey, there is a God at work in the earth speaking to people. Sometimes we're in our own little world. We don't think God's communicating with us. But the Holy Spirit is in this earth. And the Holy Spirit is speaking. You believe that? Amen. Well, say amen. Amen. Praise God. Well, I got excited about it and began to think back when I taught about following the Spirit of God. And I'm beginning to realize I'm studying on end time things and studying the book of Revelations and so forth, so on. And God's beginning to show me some things about His judgments that are to come. And understanding the love of God, the present day ministry of Jesus, and how judgments come, I begin to catch a glimpse of something I hadn't seen before in the book of Revelation, is just before the opening of the seals that's to come. And I begin to notice something that was mentioned that was present before the opening of the seals. And can anybody guess what is actually mentioned before any of the openings or any of the pouring outs or any of the judgments of God? Do you know what is mentioned? There's mentioned a witness. A witness to mankind. And when I saw that, and the Lord began to reveal to me, before he can even bring a judgment, he has to let people know not only of his love being present, but also his ability to lead and guide us being present as well. God cannot do anything to society or mankind without first him being an answer before the problem ever comes. Can I hear an amen? You see, God was here before the problem presented itself. God was here before the devil had his day and his opportunity to depart from the living God. He was still the God of the answer. I am he. I'm here, and I'm always will be the answer for everyone and everything. God is just. He's incapable of rendering a judgment that is not worthy to be rendered. It's impossible for him. But one thing I begin to notice, and I begin to pray about it because I'm praying that particular book up. And the Holy Spirit will get things to bounce that out at you, and usually it comes in the form of a question. And the one question that came out before anything begins to happen is that I begin to see at the beginning of that book a witness. And the witness was, are you ready for this? The witness was Ezekiel Wheels. Remember the creature, the four creatures floating around? They were there present before any of the seals were broken. I thought, why in the world does he have Ezekiel Wheels there? Then he also had another witness. And you know what the other witness was? The seven spirits of God. Do you know that what's available today for us is the understanding, first of all, of Ezekiel Wheels? A lot of people don't know what they are. And the second thing that is very important is that when Jesus, before he left, he promoted the Holy Spirit more than anything else. And he said, the Holy Spirit cannot come unless I go away. When I go away, you're going to be better off because he's going to come. Woo! You know, a lot of us, we use the term Holy Spirit. We don't think how beautiful and how wonderful and what a wonderful place to be is found with the Holy Spirit coming to us personally after Jesus has gone. And so God has been here since the fall. He's been here since the fall to be an answer for all that is to come. For the sake of mankind. And so he declared it. Even in the Old Testament, he declared he was present. And it was the wonderful men of God that found him because they sought for him. They searched for him and they found him. And then God began to reveal. And one thing that I want to stress to you more than anything else is when I was seeking why was that creature before the throne in the crystal sea. I got many things I'd like to share, but I can't write yet until I get them put together. But one thing I did find out. Did you know that God has been made available for you in the form of the Holy Spirit, an anointing, an inward anointing that gets inside of you in the form of three faces? The man, the lion, the ox, and the eagle. And many years ago, I found this man's notes. I can't remember his name. Well, actually, it was John that found him, and I asked him to go in there and search about Ezekiel's wheels because I had many questions about it. And, you know, the wheel within a wheel and all this and that and the activities there. And this guy was asked by the Lord to go get apart from everything, go up into the mountains and get in, and he's going to show him the meaning of Ezekiel's wheels. And when John and I begin to read about them, matter of fact, I've got a lot of it, I'm going to quote, not today. But when he began to quote about those four faces and what the meaning of those Ezekiel wheels was, I was shouting because I knew this man had an encounter with God. That's why I'm giving him credit for it, not me, but him. And God showed him the meaning of Ezekiel wheels. Ezekiel wheels talks about how the Holy Spirit is supposed to be in every aspect of our life. And he has a direct leading in our life for every aspect of our life. In those four faces. Those four faces meaning man. This talked about the natural responsibilities, family obligations, everything like that. Then the lion is kingdom authority, spiritual gifts and ministry. The ox, a man's labor. And the eagle, the spiritual dimension of a man's life, prayer and so forth. The activity represented by the four faces. And so really what Ezekiel Wheels was referring to is how the Holy Spirit has to be in every phase and every activity of your life so that it has meaning, a wheel within the wheel. And when the wheel within the wheel got out of place, it went erratic. But when it got back into place, it maintained a balance. And I'm going to tell you something. I'm going to share with you the most important things you need to know to follow the leading of the Spirit in your life. And because we are living in dangerous times and times are going to get worse, and you and I are going to be rocked off our little handle, realizing that more and more as you walk through the end times of this life, things are not going to get easier, they're going to get more difficult. And the thing that God has given us is He's given us a form of direct leading in every area of our life. We can be, we can go for the best that this natural world has to offer if the Spirit of God is behind it. We can go for the best of what spiritual authority is when the Spirit of God is behind it. The Holy Spirit is your major, most important thing right now, more than any other time on the face of the earth. And that is praying in the Holy Spirit and maintaining a spiritual life. The thing that really galls me is to see believers that do not have time to set aside and pray to God and communicate with them. And yet they'll spend hours on their phone texting and inter-texting and listening and putting iTunes in their head. I mean, how are you going to follow the leading of the Spirit when you're so far away from Him over a little cell phone? I think sometimes our own technology has been used against us. If you're going to be on the text, if you're going to be on your telephone 4 hours a day, give God due justice and balance it out. Spend 4 hours with Him. Well, that's not possible. Well, then do away with the phone. Oh, you have no idea how I live off of it. How many of you guys ever saw that program on TV? They showed them about people who died from their phones. Who saw the programs that showed? Well, one lady, she was walking along on her phone and she fell into a manhole that had all these, what'd you call before you pour cement? Yeah. They went right through her, killed her instantly. What was her last text? Can you imagine? That was me. What if her last text was, can you imagine? I'll tell you what, people, we're living in a time period where it pays for us to be in that fruit of the Spirit called self-control. We have got to get a hold of ourselves and start balancing our life out as a believer that unbelievers don't have. You know, when I was praying, I was grieving in the spirit when I heard that on the news. I was in my truck and I heard about all those shootings and stuff. Now my spirit gets more sensitive to the horrors that goes on because it grieves me to the core. And when I was sitting there, I said, God, the families that that are going to be affected by this, the dimension of all over perverted nutcases that have no value to life. And just shot those people. That rock band that was sitting there with the reporters and telling how those murders went on and those men shot into the hundreds of crowds of people, and the people started defending themselves by covering other people. They saw a compassion to humanity they never knew existed. Taking bullets for others. That's horrible. All out of an insane nutcase called Satan. Put a stronghold in their thinking, and they think that once they go to the other side, there's utopia. 70 virgins or whatever it is that they seem to think. And it's just thrown away, a soul thrown away. Just thrown away. All because of a lie, a deceit. Boy, how much more do we need the Spirit of God in our life? Now, you know, there are some people that go overboard. They can't even get up and put their shoes on unless the Holy Spirit shows them what shoes they want to wear. You know, that to me is a nut job. God gave us a brain to know what shoes we want to wear or what clothes to put on. You know, He's given us a logical reasoning from that aspect. But when you get into things in your life that are important in decisions and choices you make, there's where you need to spend some time with God. You know, and get His attention. Now I'm going to tell you something. When Kenneth Hagin started teaching at the school, I bonded to it, but I was amazed at how many ministers I talked with that never picked that up. But he taught how to be led by the Spirit of God. And you know, I've read that book so many times, that every time I read it, something new pops up that I never caught from the first time. But one thing I did catch a long time ago is he made this statement. He says, if you want to be led by the Spirit, he said, that's different than a walk in the Spirit. And when he said that, I went, now wait a minute. You mean to tell me to being led of the Spirit is different than a walk of the Spirit? And so I couldn't hardly wait for him to explain what he meant by that. Matter of fact, Sue and I attended one of his classrooms when he taught on that. She got a better grade than I did. And here's what he basically said. I wrote it down in my notes here. He said, being led by the Spirit of God is more of a step of faith. And usually being led by the Spirit interprets where you're at. It's more personalized. Being led by the Spirit of God is more of a personalized thing. He said, because you can't open your Bible up and find your name in there. But you can open your Bible up and He can teach you and instruct you and cause you to grow up. And then you can take that instruction that you grew up in and apply that to your life. That's more of a walk of the Spirit. He says, where you take the promises of God and live by them. That is a walk of the Spirit, or walking in Spirit. Because when the Spirit develops you, as a spiritual being, not a physical being, as a spiritual being, He develops you off of the Word of God. But when you're being led of the Spirit, this is where you need to have God's ability to personalize your life by another means of leading you other than the one that you find directly in the Word. Now, I can go to the Bible and I can't find Jan Butler listed in it. Are you following me? There's where my life gets personal. But where I can go to the Word of God, where the Word of God is applicable to all of us as a unit, all of us as believers, that's where we can find the blessed promises of God or instructions on how to specifically live. Amen. But how many of you know, wouldn't it be nice that once you've born again and brought into the kingdom of God and you opened your Bible up and right there it had your name in it and said, this is how you are to live. that don't happen. It'd be nice. But you know, Our daughter Lindsay called us yesterday. She had her whole day planned out with her and her little friend. And I got to watch how I word Lindsay's personality. But anyway, she puts everything in order. And she got to follow that. So she calls Sue and says, Mommy, I got to check in the spirit about what I was going to do today. And Sue says, oh, and she says, yeah, would you and Dad pray? And I just feel upset. I feel turmoil inside like I'm not supposed to do. Am I saying it right? Like I'm not supposed to do this. And Sue says, okay, we'll pray. And so we hung up and we're driving along and I'm praying and I'm not getting anything. Nothing. Not a darn thing. So she calls back. And she's wanting to know if this inner turmoil that she's feeling is of God, you know. And she said, did Dad get anything? And I said, no, I didn't get anything. And she said, well, I called my friend and she had the same feeling. She didn't feel settled inside. Didn't feel good. And so I'm thinking maybe the Lord doesn't want us to go. You know. So, I don't know, maybe you should stay home. And so she hang ups and we're driving along and doing our thing and she calls Sue. And I could hear her voice on the phone. And she said, I made a decision. I'm going to stay home. The minute she said that, something in me quickened. And I said, now how come I didn't get a check? And you know what the Lord said to me? He said, the check don't belong to you. It belongs to her. But bearing witness with the decision she made, you can have the benefit of witnessing, bearing witness within yourself. And boy, that rush just, woo, wow, that's right. I knew it right away the minute I heard her voice on the phone. It was Sue. And it finally dawned on me, not everybody else is going to get a check for you. You got to get your own. And so she made the decision to stay home. Did anything happen? We don't know. She's fine. Her and her kids. How many times did I have that happen to me? I just thought about going home. One day after work, I was leaving and I was headed home and the Lord spoke to me and said, I want you to stop by your daughter's home and visit with Tristan for a few minutes. And I said, okay. So I pulled in and got out of my car, went in and visited with little Tristan when they lived in the house back behind the church here years ago. And I stayed, and the Lord said, just stay here for about 15 minutes. And I thought that was strange. Why was he so emphatic? I get out and stay a certain time. So I get back in my car and I'm driving home. I get on redrive. We have this place called Dead Man's Curve. And just as I'm rounding the corner, I see a bunch of police cars and everything, and they're routing everybody the other way. And so I stopped, and I said, officer, what happened? He said, oh, about 10 or 15 minutes ago, this van was going around this curve, and this drunk ran head on into him, killed him, and then put all the people that were in the van in the hospital. They helicoptered them to the hospital. Of course, they all made it, thank God, because I prayed for them. But the Lord said that would have been you. And it dawned on me, wow, the reason he wanted me to stop, something as simple as that, he wanted me to stop and visit with Tristan a little because he saved me of the ability of getting, you know what? I drove down this freeway one day and they changed it now, but there was this stop sign that would stop traffic and you'd go. And I stopped and the Lord spoke to me and said, back up or he'll hit you in the front. This ain't God, but I'm going to back up anyway. So I looked at my rearview mirror, put it in reverse and I backed up about a car length. And stopped. I said, is this good? And the Lord said, it's good. And so then I took it out of reverse, make sure I did. And the light changed and he stopped on it and he went back and hit his brake. He was in reverse. Ahead of me. He would have smacked right in. God preserved me. I've even gone to intersections and the Lord said, don't pass this one up. Come to a complete stop, California Joe. Come to a complete stop because this guy is not going to stop. And he didn't stop. Zoom. I could go on and on about how the Lord has preserved and protected me. I can also go along and tell you when I felt led not to do something, I did it anyway, and I wish I had not done it. It cost us an automobile. Guy about drove through me. And God spoke to me and said, don't go, don't go, don't go. Now I'm going to tell you something. If anything else that I have to share with you today without going into complete details, remember, being led by the Spirit of God is a step of faith and interprets where you're at presently, how you're capable of hearing Him, because it's more of a personalized leading. But when you're walking in the Spirit, it is being obedient to the revealed will of God. In other words, when you find in the Word of God how or what or which way you should live, form your life according to it. That is called walking in the Spirit. That is where your inner man is being developed. The natural way, but being led by the Spirit, the natural way is interpreted God does not lead by what our physical senses tell us. It goes by an inward something going on the inside of you that's not right. How many of you know what I'm talking about? Have you ever had a feeling where something wasn't right? You go into a business contract with somebody, you get a feeling in you, don't do that. You know, a lot of people don't know how to even sense that. And that takes experience over time. But I want to share something with you. What are the main reasons why many people cannot seem to follow being led by the Spirit of God? Number one, in Romans chapter 8, when you read it in light of what it says, verse by verse, there is such a tremendous revelation or insight given to us because all of it centers around how to be led by the Spirit of God. And one of the things about being led by the Spirit of God, which is more personal, is that you have to have what I call the mind of the Spirit. You can't have the mind of the flesh and entertain the mind of the Spirit and in an imbalance, because you'll obey the one over the other. So the first thing Romans 8 says, it says you have to have the mind of your Spirit first and foremost to be led by the Spirit of God. So flesh, the minding of the flesh, Romans 8, this fosters a lot of temptation, especially to sin. That will cause you to miss the leading of the Spirit. Number two, a lack of faith. Unbelief. Unbelief will foster rebellion and fear in our life. So we have to do something about developing our faith or our trust in Him. Because if fear controls you more than faith, then fear will lead you to destruction. And number three, dull of hearing. No desire for the Word. This promotes complacency and indifference in us. No desire, no power of concentration. This is where we begin to lose interest and other things take the forefront. Very, very hard on being led by the Spirit of God. Number four, this is a biggie. Wrong associations, bad relationships. I'm talking about hooking up with people that you should have prayed about. Number five, a lack of knowledge. Boy, the Bible's very clear. that my people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. They don't have the insight that is necessary to keep them from harm or danger or keep them on the right track of their life. Even Proverbs 29:18 talks about where there's no revelation, the people they cast off restraint. In other words, they give themselves over to it. And then destruction comes. Narrow is the way, but broad is the way to destruction. Wrong input. People, religious people, the enemy. The right formulas for them to come and get you off track. Wrong inputs. Wrong mentors. You place yourself under false teachers. Wrong doctrines. 1 John chapter 4 tells us that. Number 8. Fostering wrong desires. Time-consuming, a loss of time. This promotes wrong timing in our life. If we allow ourselves to be caught off spiritually and our desires cling more to that which is natural, that can cause us to miss the leading of the Spirit of God in our life. Afflictions and persecutions, unfavorable circumstances. If you are not using the Word of God to deal with some of these things, they'll overrun you. They'll take you over. And it seems like you can't even get your footing. It's kind of like trying to get up a mud hill. Every time you go take a step, you slip further down. Lust of things, deceitfulness of riches, the cares of this world. These foster distractions from the Word of God. The Bible says it chokes the Word. It comes in and chokes it. It removes its ability to create life in you. You need that for the leading of the Spirit of God. He'll quicken Scripture to you for you to use it so that He can act on His Word that He gave you. I'll never forget this rescue of this lady. Some of you might have seen it on TV. It was a supernatural rescue. They found a girl that went on a hiking trip, and she lost her footing, and she went to fall off of a 200-foot cliff, and it said that she hung to the rocks, clinged to the rocks like a magnet. She herself didn't even know how. She was just hanging there on a slab of rock. But her mother, who's a believer, she was a home, and God gave her a scripture out of Psalms 91. His angels will bear you up, and lest you trip and fall on a stone. And this time the stone bore her up. And so when the rescue helicopter came down to take her off the side, they were shocked. She was just stuck there. And they just took her off the rock. And they looked at the rock, it's smooth. So they went to interview the mother, and she said, God gave me those scriptures, and I quoted them every day. I didn't know what was wrong, but I knew somebody in my family, these scriptures applied to them, and I kept quoting them. And she said, bless God, I'm going to have a confirmation that this scripture is what God gave me. This is what I'm confessing to. And then she found out about her daughter. She went to shouting. Now, people, I'm going to tell you something. When you have things like that happen in your life, how much confidence that gives you? Yes. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Jobs that take you out of spiritual consistency. This is one major area we're seeing increase as cost rises. This is what 1 Corinthians 7:31 is referring to. The labor is required to supply the provisions of life. You have to make sure that even your life is in order steward-wise so that you don't have to take on an extra job to take you away from spiritual realities. God never planned on that. You see, whether you realize it or not, God came into your life as your Lord. Not just as your Savior, but also your Lord. You're bought with a price. Your life is not your own. Oh, shut up, Jan. And number 12, a lack of prayer. No bonding in our spirit with the Lord. Number one reason it's a foundational must. If he never gets to a place of preeminence, he will begin to lose sight of his voice and slide backwards. And no understanding of the inward anointing in your life. That requires a direct leading of the Spirit. An inward anointing working in your life. I got to watch myself because sometimes I'll be praying in tongues so much that I'll do business with the business world. I'm speaking to them in tongues. I'll never forget this one guy said, pardon me, but I don't understand your language. I said, I'm sorry. I was speaking in tongues, but low. But I got myself trained in that habit. Just driving along. Praying in the Holy Spirit. Thank God for that heavenly language. Oh my gosh, I don't know where I'd be without that heavenly language. I cling to it. It's my life. My spiritual life. I like what one brother said. Praying in tongues and listening to yourself praying in tongues is supernatural, is the greatest miracle you could think of. Hallelujah. Because you're keeping your mind active with the Spirit. Boy, how important that is. Praise God. Now, I want to share with you, before we close, because I want to pray for you guys. I really felt led of the Lord. One of the things that's so hard for all of us to understand, but it's so valuable. I can't tell you how valuable this is. But somehow praying in the Spirit, praying in tongues a lot, it does something to you to be able to hear His voice clearer. Now, don't ask me how, but I've known some believers that were filled with the Holy Spirit when they were first saved, and they didn't even hardly speak in tongues afterwards. And yet it seemed like they got into every bad doctrine. They got into things they didn't need to get into. It seemed like they ran into more dams than anything else, like the two fishes going along in the water, and they hit a dam. Their whole life comes to an end. Well, there are many voices. 1 Corinthians 14:10 says that. There are many voices that go out in the world and are not without significance. Many voices that go out. You have the voice of reasoning. And then you have the voice of Satan. You have the voice of the Spirit. You have the voice of the physical hearing. You have the voice of the body. And you have the voice of the prophetic. You have all these voices into your life. They're speaking into your life. And boy, I'll tell you what, if that's not enough to make you look cross-eyed, I don't know what is. You get to the point, on the inside, you're how can I get out of myself to determine which one is me and which one is my body, you know? Because you can't do that. Of course, some people have experienced that. The voice of reasoning. A lot of people don't understand what the voice of reasoning is. Usually, the voice of reasoning is 99% of the voice of the carnal mind, the voice of natural desire. But now, the voice of reasoning is where Satan speaks through that reasoning. And that's what man inherited at the fall. It says their eyes were open. They received da'at, an inferior knowledge of the senses. And this is where the body speaks. And somebody says, well, how do I determine what's the voice of reasoning from the voice of the Spirit? Well, first of all, determine this. If the Word of God says something, and then you have another voice that comes in to interpret it differently, usually it's the voice of reasoning. Because the voice of reasoning always speaks against the knowledge of God. Because the voice of reasoning will always tell you that's not logical. How can you believe in something you can't see? It just doesn't make sense. That's why you find a place where you develop spiritually is not going to be the most popular place to be. It's a place where the minister can infuse strength into you and give you no idea how to keep it. How to maintain and how to grow. Being led by the Spirit requires growing up. Because that's what that word is. The word led. Rick Renner, when he shared that, boy, something quickened in me. I looked at it and it was true. The word led, it comes off the word ego. Let go of my ego. Comes off the word agony. When you grow spiritually, you're going to find your outer man is going to be in agony. Because he do not like to grow spiritually. Why? He physical. And then the voice of your spirit is the subconscious mind. An inward sensing, a knowing. This is where the Holy Spirit is connected to your human spirit. It comes forth to your conscious mind in thought. This is where understanding and discernment comes from. Yeah. Most people that I've met in ministry have always profoundly bragged at their discernment, and yet I looked at the witness of their life and I'd say, if that's discernment, I don't want it. Then the voice of the physical hearing. This is a conscious mind. It's where your words are spoken to bring clarity to inward thinking. Romans 10:17. The voice of the body, the voice of manifestation, the mind of the senses that speaks. This comes through the physical ear. Feelings, emotions, mental feelings, sickness, pain, mental sickness. Then the voice of prophecies means a revelation through the gifts for supernatural guidance. Romans or 1 Corinthians 13:10, 11, and 12. Supernatural impartations of things to come personally or to be given to the entire church. So you have what you call a prophetic voice that speaks and gives you guidance, especially on end time things. And this is where the Holy Spirit, that's why a lot of things on end times, I don't put much stock in them, because time has marched on since a lot of these men, these early classical teachers were. That was 20, 30 years ago. Well, certainly somebody has progressed mentally from that time till now to understand God a lot more clear. You know, I didn't know anything about the Word of God in my life. The first 3 or 4 years I was saved until I ran into Kenneth Hagin, Sr. Started listening to those cassette tapes. At that time they had cassette tapes. And then I began to realize, oh my gosh, I thought I knew the Word of God. And I didn't know anything. Matter of fact, when they started preaching the Word to me, Dave Roberson pinned me against this Western auto wall. It was auto stores back then. And started preaching to me. And he was defying everything I was ever taught in Bible school. No, that ain't right. No, that ain't right. That's not what I learned. And I found out he was giving me life, you know. But how to be led by the Spirit is certainly different than a walk of the Spirit. You have to know what His life, His will is in your life in one manner, and that's through the promises and scriptures of the Word. But there's another part of your life that you can only learn by experience, and that is the leading. And the better way to be led by the Spirit of God is to know the parents that are leading you. Mm-hmm. Yes. How many of you know what I'm talking about? Yeah. See, you understand God a lot more clear when you pay attention to who's teaching you. Yes. You know. And that's why children, as they grow, you guys know that. You got enough of them. But you know their personalities. Some will receive from you and some won't. And you know the ones that will receive from you, they seem to walk more in line than those that don't. Because, see, they receive from you. Yeah, I'm a pastor, you know, and what I'm to do is shepherd you, lead you. But a lot of you, I can't. You know, I'm just a figurehead. But a lot of you are independent in the way that you walk. There's nothing wrong with that, because God gives us all. But it helps when you have someone who's anointed of God, yes. You know, and is validated by God. God has stamped of approval on you. Then it's all right to listen to them. It's good to know that even if you have to rely upon a doctor, somebody come along and say, yeah, you can buy what that guy has to say, he's the best in town. Why? How many times has he operated on people? Over 167 people for the same thing. That would give you a little relief to know he's had some experience behind him. Amen. After 167 operations of the same kind, I mean, that guy would know something in that area. That's why doctors are becoming more specialized. It's better for our society to have special people in dealing with special areas. But so you just become a doctor today? Yeah. Yeah. Matter of fact, I wrote for my doctorate in the mail, sent for it in the mail. Well, you know what I'd do. I'd get up and walk out of that place. You have to. People, we're living in a time period. It's an absolute must. You get a hold of the fact that you need the Spirit of God to lead you in your life. if not daily, at least weekly. And if not weekly, try a month. Many of us have gotten, I know, I've gotten in trouble because I insisted on something that God didn't want me to have. You know what? You know what? I hate to give you this bad news, but you know that today it even pays that if you're going to take a trip someplace, it pays to pray about it, whether it's the right thing to do or not. Because nowadays, when Sue and I and Bob and all of us want to go camping, that's a year out. Well, you know, you don't know what you're going to do a year out, so you have to pray. And say, God, is it right to go that way? If I don't get an answer, that doesn't mean not to do it. But I'll usually step out and I'll do it. I'll plan it. But then God will reveal it to you whether it's even right or not. But you got to have the leading of the Spirit in your life. Why? Because there are nutcases running around with pineapples in their hand. This one lady reporter they gave her life story. She was actually finally shot to death in Canada. Nutcase shooting a gun. But she was in one or two other shootings. And one of them was in that theater. And she said that destiny would have it that she would die by a bullet. Because she was already in two other shootings and didn't get shot. Well, this one nutcase up there in Canada shot her, killed her. She was a reporter. And it just happened to be where there was shootings. And she said, I might die by a bullet. Well, she spoke her own destiny. Hoped she was saved. But I'm telling people, you can't even go to the grocery store. And you can't walk around in fear all the time. You know what I mean. Oh, yeah, I can plan to go to a grocery store, but I want to be sensitive enough for God to say, don't go to that grocery store. Go to this one over here. Yeah. I've had that happen. Every once in a while, how many of you know that things are more crowded today? Have you ever noticed you can't go to a grocery store without people being in your face? You're walking around with a basket and you find somebody sitting on it. So you got to pay for a parking lot. God, I claim a parking lot right now. I'm going to drive around one time and come back and you're going to give me a spot right up in front for Sue. And I come right there, right up in front. They just pulled out. It works. Does it work all the time? No. That's the day I wasn't as spiritual. But we do need a leading of the Spirit of God in our life. In everything that we do. Don't take it at this event. Because I'm going to tell you, when I was grieving over those people, I started to tell you. Can you imagine the families that were impacted by that? It's a 500 dead or wounded. 500 people instantly. In a place they shouldn't have been. No way of protecting them. That's how uncertain life is. Jesus even said the wall of Siloam, when he was asked about why he delayed in going and raising his friend from the dead, Lazarus, he said, what about the pool of Siloam? When the wall fell in and killed those 15 people, were they out of the will of God? He says, what about the ones that went into the temple to dedicate the temple? By being obedient to what the law was saying, and they all, and those soldiers went in, a Roman soldier, and slaughtered them all. Were they, that's the reason Jesus brought that issue up, is what were they out of the will of God? No, it means the life is so uncertain that you need a leading of the God. And the reason Jesus brought those stories up is because he had to wait for that plot that they were plotting to kill him when he went to Lazarus to raise him from the grave. And so he decided to wait for that, one or two days. And well, now you come and he stinketh. See, they didn't know that he was being led by the Spirit of God. And he was God. God still led him a certain way. Why? Because they plotted to take his life. And so when he got there, he said, Lazarus, come forth. He wept at their unbelief. When God leads you, It don't matter how much time it takes. Be obedient to it and do it anyway. It'll benefit you in the long run. Hallelujah. Father, I thank you for the word of God. Father, today as we bow our heads now in reverence to you, Father. Father, today you said being led by the Spirit of God is the most important thing for our people today. And Father, today as we pray for them, Father, I'm going to pray that they're going to be sensitive to the fact that they need to be conscious of you on a daily basis. Not on a fear basis. They're not worrying about every little thing that goes. But Father, be sensitive to you. Hallelujah. So that they know that when they're carrying on the routine of the day, they can also get a check in their spirit, a quickening. Hallelujah. Whatever it is that they need, they're sensitive to that. In Jesus' name. Everybody stand up. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. This is how we're going to pray today. You know, the Lord said, pray for boldness. Yeah, I believe that every one of us are unique within itself. Do you believe that? I believe what's unique for me is for me. We're all personal, unique people. And God knows how to communicate with each and every one of us in our uniqueness. I can't say there's a set plan in everyone how you get a check or how you get a quickening. That's something you have to learn for yourself. I know it within myself if I get a quickening or if I get a check. Boy, how I know it now. But it comes by experience. Some of you may have never experienced it. You don't know what a check is or a quickening. Well, you got to look for those things. You got to be sensitive to them. Now, I was going to give an altar call, but I think every one of us in this room, including myself, can say, I need more of a sensitivity to the leading of the Spirit. Listen, a walk of the Spirit's... You know what you do to find out how to walk in the Spirit? Open your Bible and read it. But when it comes to being led, that's more personalized. That comes by experience. Now, I want to witness by hand. How many of you can say right along with me, I need more of experience about being led by the Spirit of God? Amen. Get your hand up. Yes. Your hand says, I do need it. Now, why should we hold an altar call? Why can't we all pray together right now? Hallelujah. We need that more than anything else. We need it more than anything else. Matter of fact, let's all pray together. I'm going to connect with the body. I'm going to connect with you guys right here. Hallelujah. Yes, hallelujah. Come here. Connect with me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. This symbolizes me right with you. Let's pray together. We're all going to believe God for being led more of the Spirit in these end times. Hallelujah. Dear Heavenly Father, now as we all come together as believers, Father, we lift up to you, our voice saying, Father, we want to be more sensitive to your Spirit. We want to be led. Speak to every one of us in a unique way what we must do to be sensitive to that leading of the Spirit. We thank you, Father, that you've made available how to walk in the Spirit, Father. But Father, we know that being led of the Spirit is far more complicated to the natural mind. But Father, to our spirit, we can learn how to be led. Father, may we become sensitive to having a check in our spirit. May we become sensitive to having a leading in our spirit. Father, we know it begins by balancing you out in every area of our life. And so, Father, we all declare that together today. And everybody said, amen and amen. Oh, glory to God. We're in this all together. Amen. Praise God. Amen. Praise God. Amen. Praise God. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. I want to be able to have a check in my spirit. I want to be able to have a quickening in my spirit. Amen. Amen and amen and amen. Well, the best way I can explain a check is something don't seem right. I just feel it. You know, the buzzer. Just don't feel right. Quickening means, wow. Whew. That feels right. Feels right. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Dear Father, as we now leave, the service. We got a lot of nutcases out there, Father. And we're at the church of the living God. And it said if we have the mind of the Spirit. If we have the mind of the Spirit, then we're not in bondage. But if we have the Spirit of Christ, you produce life and peace for us. Father, may they know that life and peace like we do. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. If anyone would like prayer for anything else other than what we prayed for, feel free to come up. Hallelujah.